You're listening to Riverside Community Church Sermons. Follow along with this message in the Bible app and see our website at connect2riverside.com for all information about our church and what we're doing in the community.
Been all semester long, we've been walking through the book of 1 Corinthians, which is a powerful book. It's a book that Paul wrote, and Paul spent about 2 years in Corinth raising up these leaders, very young leaders, and dynamic leaders. It's a church mostly of first-generation believers. And so you have all sorts of problems that are in the church right now. There's fighting, there's quarreling, there's division over leadership. There's a man sleeping with his father's wife, which is dysfunctional. And then you see all these people suing one another, taking each other to court. And the church in Corinth is full of all sorts of problems. And what I love, what I just love and admire so much about Paul is he doesn't bail on the bride and move down the road to find some other perfect church. Because if you have been around church, heaven help us, for any amount of time, you know that the myth of a perfect church does not exist. Because the moment myself or you walk into it, we're going to mess it up. And there's no such thing as a perfect church, but there are healthy churches. And healthy churches have problems. You need to hear me. Healthy churches have problems. Hang out around Riverside for a while, and you are going to see this place is full of problems. But the marker of what health in a church looks like is they're not willing to sweep things under the rug. They're willing to push in and engage. They're willing to look at the problems and ask questions and wrestle with it and address them. And that's what you see Paul doing with the church in Corinth. He sees problems. He gets word that there are problems, and he doesn't just brush it off, bail on the bride, but he pushes in. The marker of a healthy leadership. And so for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this strange conversation about meat sacrificed to idols, which is really a question about freedom and how you and I manage our freedom. And last week, we talked about this idea of having fellowship with Christ, or koinonia with Christ, this sacred bond that you and I have with Jesus Christ. And nothing can pull apart this bond that you and I, this koinonia, this sacred bond that you and I have between us and Christ. But Paul also reminded us last week that we live in a deeply, deeply spiritual world. And you can use your freedoms to koinonia to a lot of things, not just Christ. And he said, not John, last week, he said, you can koinonia with the demonic. Careful not to use your freedoms. If you can be yoked to Christ, you can be yoked to the demonic influences of this world. So careful how you use your freedom. And so this week, Paul is going to make another significant shift for us. And so he's going to say something today that is profoundly simple and yet incredibly, incredibly difficult for us. The church in Corinth was asking all sorts of questions about what does forward look like. Okay, Paul, we get it. Like, we need to not koinonia with anything other than Jesus. How do we manage our freedoms? What does forward look like? How do we walk this thing out? What do we do, Paul? And Paul is going to offer us this morning a way forward, a way for us to faithfully respond to Jesus. Not just have you, church, have we accepted Jesus, but how do we walk this thing out? How do we advance the gospel when culture in our world is pushing against us? Paul is going to provide a way forward for us this morning. So, in your blue Bibles, we're going to be on page 543. One of the things I say every Sunday morning is grab your phone, grab a Bible. There's no reason in the world we should not be getting out God's word and looking at it together. Our leadership, our board of directors, myself, our staff, we want this place to be a biblically literate church. Far too many followers of Jesus profess that they've given their life to Jesus, and yet we don't know this book very well. One of the simplest things that you can do on Sunday morning is follow along. We want to be a community that values the body, feeling comfortable and confident, opening up God's word and reading it for themselves. Grab your phones, grab your Bibles, follow along with me. We're going to be on page 543 this morning. We got just one verse, but it is packed, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 1, it says this. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. That's it. That's your verse for this morning. Paul says this to a community that is wrestling, that is struggling, that is foggy about what forward looks like. He says, follow me. Watch my life. If you want an example of what forward looks like, Paul quietly but with confidence says, follow me. Watch my life. Watch my life. Not out of a place of arrogance, of him propping himself up better than everybody else, but as in a position of, like, he's experienced how good Jesus is. And he's tasted how good Jesus is. And he knows that nothing in this world will satisfy like him. And so he's given his life in full out submission and surrender to Jesus, where he can say, let me show you how good he is. Watch my life. Follow my life as I follow Jesus Christ's. And so this morning we're going to ask just two questions. Two questions that I think will confront you this morning. Two questions that every follower of Jesus Christ has to ask. No one is off the hook. Two questions that are profoundly simple, as we said, but incredibly difficult to walk out. Here they are. Number one, who am I imitating? Who am I following? Who am I imitating? And question two, who is imitating me? Who have I made room for in my life that's going to follow my lead? The technical term for this, friends, is discipleship. Discipleship. And it's the final instructions of Jesus Christ. He said, say it with me, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is the final marching orders of the bride of Christ. Not to build big ministries, not to have great, huge platforms, not to have the greatest children's ministry, not to have the greatest student ministry, not to have the greatest life groups out there. I'm a fan of those. I think we should do those, but they are not the point. Those are tools in our belt that should propel people towards discipleship. And it's the marching orders that Jesus gave us as followers of Jesus Christ towards discipleship. Now, I don't know if you read any old dead theologians, but you should. Our family heritage, brothers and sisters, is remarkable. It is spectacular, our family heritage. There's a pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German pastor in the 40s that publicly and openly opposed Hitler and the Nazi regime. And he worked vigorously to overthrow the government. In fact, it's the reason he was killed. He was a martyr. They connected him to the plot that where there was a bomb that went off, and they connected Bonhoeffer to that plot, which maybe may not happen, but he did work tirelessly to publicly criticize Hitler and the rule and reign of the Nazis, and it ultimately led to his execution. And they hung him. And I want you to hear what he says about the heart of discipleship. Look at what it says. Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. That Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. And I want you to feel the weight of that this morning. I want you to feel the significance of that this morning. And then ask yourself the question, who am I imitating? Who am I imitating? Who have I positioned myself up and under that I have access to their life, where I've said to them, can I follow you? Just like Paul did. Follow me as I follow Christ. This is normal. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, is that we give ourselves over towards discipleship, where you and I have, like, face-to-face contact with somebody, where you have access to their life, where you can say, hey, why do you parent that way? Help me understand when me and my bride are in conflict, how do we navigate that? Like, help me understand my finances. How do I begin to prioritize my finances in such a way that God gets the glory in my, like, do you have those type of relationships in your life? Early on in my Christian walk, I would have said, absolutely, I do. Absolutely, I have those type of relationships, but there was a problem. They just didn't know it. They were podcasts. They were books. They were great pastors of large churches and ministries. And you can learn from those places. Those things are valuable. I think you should follow along and track with those type of people. Nothing wrong with that. But the problem is you don't have access to their lives. And they don't have access to your lives. And discipleship is this closeness. When you're locking eyes with somebody, how are you? Stop it. How are you, for real? I know you're not okay. But do you have those type of relationships? I mean, don't you want those type of relationships? If we want to be a church that walks in maturity, then the right lane for growing in our relationship with Christ is discipleship. It's how you and I mature in the faith, is by getting tucked up under somebody that is just a little bit farther down the road than we are. And we say, hey, can I follow you as you follow Christ? And if you are struggling with this question, which I imagine the vast majority of us are struggling with this question, I want to give you just a few things to look for as you are thinking about somebody that you can have access to. About, like, what should I even be looking for? I mean, Paul clearly says, follow me as I follow Christ. So there has to be some criteria that Paul would recommend. And there are probably 1,000 things that could go on your list that are true. But I want to give you just a few this morning. Number one, is there true transformation? Is there true transformation in their lives? I don't know if you know much about Paul, but when we first meet Paul in the Newer Testament, in the book of Acts, the church is facing severe persecution. It's right after the ascension of Jesus Christ, and the church is living under a very difficult time, to the point where the church is experiencing a backlash, where the church is being persecuted. And behind the persecution is a man named Saul. And it says in the scriptures that Saul is breathing out murderous threats against the church. And it says that he is going door to door, and he's dragging out whole families, and he's throwing them in prison. They're beating them, and he's even murdering them. Stephen, one of the first martyrs of the early church, is being stoned, and it says that Paul was there. He had given directive for the first martyr one of the first martyrs of the early church. And then you have this moment in Saul's life where literally he gets knocked off his high horse. And if you've ever wondered about where that phrase comes from, I think it's from here. Because the scripture literally says that Saul was knocked off his horse and he met the Lord. And the Lord said to Saul, 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 why are you persecuting me? And from that moment on, Saul experienced this radical transformation. And can you imagine, like knowing Saul before he became Paul? And thinking about, like, is this for real? Are you kidding me? Like, my neighbor down the street was arrested because of him. My grandmother locked up because of him. And now Saul is professing Jesus Christ? Are you kidding me? But over time and with consistency, people's hearts began to turn towards Paul. And Saul goes from one thing to another. Transformation. when you are looking for somebody that can disciple you, that can coach you, that can give you leadership in your walk with the Lord, this is what you should look for. Have they experienced transformation? Were they one thing and then they became something else? It could be a point where I know that so many of us in this church have a story of, man, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time. Like, I grew up in church. Praise God for your story. But what I'm saying is, when you look back to the last year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, do you see transformation in their walk with Jesus? Have they grown? Are they growing in their heart's affection for Jesus? And if you do, man, you found a gold mine. You have found somebody that's found Jesus, found their heart's delight. It's a good marker to look for when you're looking for somebody to disciple you. Is their transformation? Number two, what is the agenda of their life? What is the agenda of their life? Last week we talked about this profoundly spiritual thing that happens when we fellowship with Christ. There is an alignment that happens between us and Him. And there are lots of things that our lives can be aligned to. There can be lots of agendas for our life. Your life, my life, has an agenda, whether we would like to admit it or not. There is a destination our life is headed. And there are lots of good secondary agendas of our lives that we cannot live for. We can't live for our kids. We can't live for our spouse. We can't live for our finances. We can't live for retirement. We can't live for one day. We can't live for those things. Because a Christian doesn't live for those things. They live for Christ. They're aligned with Jesus. Those are blessings. Those are good gifts. We don't live for them. And so when you're looking for somebody to mentor you, to help you grow up with a relationship with Christ, what is the agenda of their life? Do they care about being faithful more than anything else? When they're making a decision and there's money on the table and this other position may not be as glorious, but it's where God has called them, do they have the courage to just want to be faithful? Do they just want to be faithful, where their allegiance is towards Jesus before anything and anybody else? That's what you need to look for. And let me be honest. I can look around this room right now, and there are many people in this room that if you came to me after church today and you said, John, I need somebody to mentor me. I need somebody to disciple me. I mean, I'm looking around this room. We have some powerful people in this room. Some deeply faithful people who love Jesus. And I'm looking at you. You are a gift to the body. The body needs you. We cannot function without you. And so Paul says, what is the agenda of their life? And lastly, is there spiritual depth? Not do they know Jesus. Do they know a lot of things about Jesus? Because what has Paul been saying the last couple weeks? Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. When you're looking for somebody, do they have spiritual depth? Not, I read my Bible today. I went to church this week. I served somewhere this week. But have they really mined the depths of what Jesus has done for them? Do you know somebody, man, that just gets taken back and is like, he died for me. That's it. What else is there to live for? That's spiritual depth. Not just what do you know, but do you know somebody that's in love with them? That just wants to be loved by him and make that love known to everybody and anybody else. There are probably, honestly, 1,000 other things you could add to this list of things to look for. And you would be right. 1,000 other things. But I want to encourage you, friends, hear me this morning. If you're struggling in your walk with the Lord, if you have stalled out, if you are frustrated, I wonder if it's because you've gotten in the slow lane. You've given up on what Jesus asked you to do, to get tucked up in under somebody for the purpose of maturing and growing in Christ. I'm telling you, if you want to experience the depth of what Jesus has in store for you, get in the lane of disciples making. You will meet Jesus in a way that I can't do it on my own. And I was never created to. Now, I want to look at the second part of this question. Not who am I imitating, but now who is imitating me? Because what is normal in our relationship with Christ is we should be reaching for somebody that's a little bit more mature than us, and then we should be reaching down to pull someone up who's just a few steps behind us in our walks. That's normal. That's what health looks like. We're asking somebody to help grow us up, and then we're reaching down to pull somebody up as well. And so I want you to hear what Paul has been saying, because he's been saying the same thing the whole book. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says this. It says this: I'm writing not to shame you, brothers and sisters, but to warn you as dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you don't have many fathers. For in Christ, I became a father through the gospel. Therefore, verse 16, I urge you to imitate me. Do you see the distinction that Paul makes here? Guardian, father. Guardian, mother. Guardian, there is a distinction between the two of these. Guardians, good. Good. The church should have them. We have them here. A guardian, think of it as a way of like iron sharpens iron. Like brotherly affection, sisterly affection for one another. Where we are in a group and we're all moving forward together. That is a beautiful thing. That's what one of the primary things that we do in life groups is we rally behind one another and we walk towards Jesus. It is fantastic. And there's another layer. Paul says, guardians and a spiritual father. Spiritual mother. So I want to ask you, if you are, I'm not calling you out, but I'm calling you out. If you are a little bit older than me, do you think of your life this way? Have you made room in your life to reach down and to pull somebody up? I don't know what else to say. It's what the scripture is begging us to do as a body. To help those who are just a few steps behind us in our walk with Jesus to come alongside of us for the purpose of helping them enjoy Jesus and helping them mature and helping them grow up. I know this can be awkward. It feels like you're asking somebody out on a first date. But there's great reward on the other side of it. There is great joy. I mean, have you given somebody access to your life? I mean, do you even think about your life that way? Now, I'm going to push you harder that are maybe a little more mature than I am. I think there is a great damage that is being done in the church universal, where I have led in such a way, maybe, that the church universal has made it okay for those that are more mature in the faith to say, it's my turn to pass the torch. My turn's up. It's a young person's game. What we need to be about is raising up the next generation. And somehow we've relegated our responsibility to be spiritual mothers and be spiritual fathers. Let me be honest. I don't know that I, first off, there is no such thing as spiritually retiring for disciple making. Nobody is off the hook for this. Nobody. Older community, older friends, my seasoned in here, we need you. Part of the reason the church is so dysfunctional is because we're not functioning properly. We see the church universal has a bad habit about identifying young, gifted, talented pastors that start massive movements and burn. They crash. I mean, can you not go more than 10 minutes by hearing another pastor that has a moral failure? Misused funds. I mean, you could watch a documentary right now that just came out about a young, gifted, and talented pastor, a church full of young, gifted, talented leaders that crashed and burned. Do you know why? I think a great deal of the responsibility lies on those that are more mature, because we have not walked alongside those that are coming behind us in such a way that we function as spiritual fathers and mothers to them. You are a gift to the body, and we need you. I need you. This community needs me. Forget like pastors and churches. Young families need you. Those that are in the trenches of raising kids, they need you. They need those that are a little bit more mature, a little bit more seasoned, to come alongside them and say, I see you. I see you, young mama. Just keep going. You're amazing. You're doing a great job. Can I help with something? For the men in this community to step up and to say, let me help. I see your effort. I see all of your striving. But let's help get that thing aligned. We need that type of maturity in the church. I mean, no matter how old you are, whether you're like retired and you got travel plans and you got stuff going on, or whether you're in the trenches of raising babies and graduations and parties and blah, 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 we're busy. We're busy. And I want you to hear me say this morning, there is nothing wrong with being busy. But you can't use your busyness as an excuse to bail on the mission that Jesus has given the bride. Paul was busy. He was very busy. He was planting churches, pastoring people. He wrote 13 books in the Bible. He discipled Timothy. He discipled Titus. He was a brilliant, well-educated man, and he owned businesses. And yet, at the same time, he found margins in his life to look around and to say, follow me, as I follow Christ. Let me help you mature in your walk with Jesus. And this, friends, is how chapter 10 ends. By a whole bunch of younger people in the faith looking around, not knowing what forward looks like. They've drifted pretty far away, not knowing what to do, not knowing how to proceed forward. And Paul raising his hand and saying, let me imitate me as I imitate Christ. Parents, young kids. I hammered on adults. Parents with young kids. You're discipling your kids. There's no way around it. I mean, beyond what you believe, beyond what you say, kids are watching. They are listening. Beyond my good intentions that I might have, my kids are watching, and I'm discipling them. And it is fast. I mean, I blinked, and I have a middle schooler and a high schooler now. And it's real easy for us to have the wrong goal or the wrong agenda when it comes to kids. For us to say, I want to be the best parent out there. I want to get my kids involved in things. I want to help raise great kids. And fine. But your goal as a parent is not to be a great parent. Your goal as a parent is to be a great discipler. To make sure that we're emphasizing the right things. That our kids, who cares if they know how to throw a curveball if they don't know how to open the Word and read it for themselves? There's a difference. Not bad and good, but a priority. What gets the first seat in our lives? Our goal cannot, it's what we talked about last week, this issue of koinonia, about alignment. Our first alignment is with Jesus. Moms, dads, hear me. Me and my bride are tired. And we're not at our best right now. And one of the best tools at our disposal right now is to say, sorry. Don't think just because you have blown it, mom and dad, that that disqualifies you. One of the greatest gifts that we can give our family is model humility and go and ask for forgiveness. Dad totally blew that one. I'm really sorry. And then part two, let him see you course correct. Let him see you repent. Let him see you turn around and live differently. So what do we do as moms and dads? Every night, we pray with our kids in bed. When you get up in the morning, turn some worship music on. Let kids just get that up in them. When you have them trapped in the car with you, you ask them questions. And when they don't want to answer, you say, oh, great, I'm going to tell you what Jesus has been talking to me about. But you look for every little excuse just to throw seeds. Just to throw seeds and let the Lord begin to water that and grow them up and mature them. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Riverside, I want us to end here. This is our homework for this week. Is to come back to that first set of questions. One, who am I imitating? Who am I getting tucked up under so that they can see the truth, so that I can see the truth about me and Jesus because of their life? It's weird. It's awkward. I know. It's hard to go up to somebody and say, can we hang out? It's hard. And I just wanted, I want you to hear me. On the other side of that, there is no greater privilege when somebody in the community says, can we meet? Would you be willing to mentor me? It's a place of great privilege. Don't feel awkward about them. You're actually blessing them by saying, I see Jesus at work in your life and I want to know him the way that you know him. And question two, who is imitating me? Whether you're seasoned, whether maybe you're a little younger, are you willing to create some margin in your life for people, for those that are younger that you can pull up and say, follow me as I follow Christ? Friends, this is the way to maturity, and I believe it's God's good gift for this church. So this week, I'm going to encourage you, pray about those two things. And don't think praying about it's good enough, because it's not. Take a step. Respond with obedience. Jesus says, you are my disciples if you keep my commandments. And he says, go and make disciples. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. God, thank you that you modeled this. God, that when we look at you, God, we see the heart of the Father. God, thank you. Thank you that we don't have to do this alone, that you've given us this beautiful body to walk this out together. God, I pray for myself and for my friends here this morning, God, that we would have the courage this week to ask the hard questions of, who am I imitating? And who is imitating me? That we would reach up and that we would pull up, Father. So God, would you give us the courage to push in this week, Holy Spirit, would you come and do the work that only you can do to fuel, to empower, to reveal, to convict, and to turn us around, to not settle for anything less than your best. And then we move forward. We grow. Father, we love you. We're grateful for your word, how one verse changes everything. It reorientates our life. And we're grateful. Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends, one last thing before we go this morning. This week is VBS around here, which is spectacular. Last I heard, Amanda said that, Amanda and Preeti said we had over 200 kids coming, which is crazy. And so we are asking for you to pray for them, to pray for us and for our community as we get to serve so many in our area. And if you would still like to say, I'd love to jump in. That sounds like fun. Let me back up. I'm called to do that. We would love to have you step up. And so you can check in with Preeti and Amanda today, right after church. And it will be fun because it's what the Lord's doing. So, friends, I'm going to invite you to stand, and would you receive this blessing as you go out to a beautiful rest of your holiday weekend. And so may the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, to be gracious and kind to you. May he lift up his face. May he turn his countenance toward you and give you his peace, his shalom. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. All of God's children said, now may you go doing the most important thing you will do all week. Leave to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. I love you, my friends. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. Get plugged in and see what's going on our website. Connect, the2riverside.com. There, you can learn more about us, our different areas of ministry, and find events that we have going on in the community. Have a great week.